This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm and real. If you're tired of spammy DMs and the generic LinkedIn messages that go nowhere, Ninja Prospecting flips the script. They help coaches, consultants, and service-based business owners spark real conversations through strategic, human-first outreach. No bots, no fluff, just honest, data-backed messaging that sounds like you and actually gets replies. Talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Whether you want to do it yourself, get guidance, or fully hand it off, they've got you covered. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com and schedule a chat with Adam. Be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans podcast. If you're ready to get started, join their free community at school.skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704 to maximize your connections and make the right new ones.
I think everybody should read your book. Your book will have a positive impact on everybody who reads it. I can think of a number of things. The other thing is, like in my business, it's real easy. You get real busy and it's real easy to cut corners. When you're with somebody, you want to be real present with them. And so when I bring on a new consultant into our business, it's real easy to just send them some stuff and tell them to watch some videos to get them up and running and get them trained. But what I like to do is I like to set up a few personal meetings with them where I take the time to really hold their hand in the beginning and make myself really available in the beginning. My job is to help them get started, to help them get up and running so that they can have success. So they have a fighting chance at success. And so I want to be there as a resource. And the way my view is that I'm going to hold their hand to get them up and running until they're ready to fly on their own. I've got to make sure they've got the tools they need and the focus and the direction in order to be successful. Most people in our business don't take the time to do that.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 130, we're joined by Jordan Adler, a man who's turned living his dream into an art form. He once auctioned a $100 bill from his wallet for $3.2 million, flies real helicopters for fun, and has walked the red carpet at the Academy Awards. Jordan is the author of the Amazon bestseller, Beach Money, a book that's inspired entrepreneurs worldwide and has positioned Beach Money in the top 1% of contributors to Kiva.org out of over 1 million contributors. A successful real estate investor with a multitude of rental units in the mountains of Arizona, Jordan also has a reputation as an exceptional leader, teacher, and mentor. He has helped countless people design lives that they love. Whether it's building residual income, traveling the world, or just enjoying each day to the fullest, he's here to share how you can make your dreams a reality too. Let's get started. Welcome, Jordan, to the Business Superfans Podcast. Super excited to have you here, my friend.
Thank you, Frederick. It's great to see you.
Yeah, it's been a minute. The last time we caught each other was in Jerome, and that's been already a few months gone by. It's amazing how clock goes.
It had been a few years prior to that, but...
Well, you and I go back 20 years. So
yeah.
Amazing how time has flown. Yeah. So, Jordan, let's go back to the beginning, and what's your backstory? Because I know you've written a couple books,
yeah,
and you've been on stages, you do public speaking, and you've been quite successful in the business that you're in. So let's hear the story.
I didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial background, but I was wired as an entrepreneur. However that happens, when I was even very young, I was doing paper routes and looking for ways to increase my tips and lemonade stands and things like that. grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago. My dad saved his entire life for myself and my two sisters to go to college for 1 year, and then we were required to figure out how to pay for the other three. None of us took out loans. I worked my butt off during college as a resident advisor and a night clerk. Moved right out of college with a degree in landscape architecture. I moved from the suburbs of Chicago to Phoenix. I think that's where our paths crossed the first time, was in the Phoenix area, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. At a BNI meeting.
BNI, yeah. So I actually moved to Phoenix and tried different things. I was just trying to get my footing. Worked lots of different jobs, worked in the gyms, worked in renting roller skates on University in Tempe, Arizona. Got a job as a draftsman, did that for a number of years, tried to get my degree in landscape architecture, my licensing in landscape architecture, and I was just floundering, trying different things, lots of different things. And I finally got a job as a draftsman, and I did that for probably 4 years. I worked for the state and the city in a private company, never made much money. But all during that time, I was dabbling in different entrepreneurial things. And I joined an airline, which was a very entrepreneurial airline called America West, back when they had one plane and 180 employees. I became the 180th employee and got involved in network marketing and started a little training business, all these different things, and never made a penny other than my job income, which was under 20 grand a year. I found myself at the age of 34 years old, living in an enclosed garage in a rental in Old Town Tempe. I had two roommates that lived in the house. Our rent was $200 a month. I had a broken down Jeep that was in the street that I hadn't driven in a couple of years. Couldn't afford to fix it. I owned one suit, $36,000 in credit card debt on 22 credit cards. And I joined my 12th network marketing company. And in that company, I finally cracked the code and started to make a little money. And then I started to make a lot of money. And within a matter of a few years, I was traveling around the world, even on private jets, and staying in the most beautiful castles in Scotland and meeting with, built friendships with people all over the world. I learned the business of networking and had a very successful business. I was with that company. It was called Excel. Some of you might remember it. I was with that company for 13 years, made millions of dollars. I went from living in the garage, the enclosed garage at 34, to making millions of dollars 4 years later. And then after 13 years, that company went out of business and they were a multi-billion dollar telecom that, you remember this, Frederick, probably better than most, is that the whole industry went digital and everybody was analog. And we were analog. We had hundreds of millions of dollars of mechanical switches that were analog all over the world. And the whole industry went digital. And so within 90 days, we were out of business. So I went from making 80 grand a month to zero and needed to figure out what my next move was going to be. And that was 20 years ago. I can't even believe it. And I joined a new company as an independent distributor and became the top earner in that company. And today have about 1 million customers in 5 countries that all use our service. I've got a financially free lifestyle that allows me to travel the world. I still travel a lot. I split my time between Las Vegas on the Vegas Strip at the Waldorf. And then I also have a home in the mountains in Arizona, which you've been to. The last time we saw each other was up in Jerome, the magical little mining town up about 30 miles west of Sedona. I've had a very blessed life, a very rich life that has allowed me to do many things because I didn't quit. I stayed focused on my dream. Even though I bounced around a lot, I finally found my footing and landed on some things that were able to make me some serious money.
Wow, what a story. You know, you remind me, I didn't live in a garage. I lived in a basement.
Yeah.
I was in 12th grade and I left home the second time and I stayed in a auto repair shop for about 2 weeks. And my rent from a buddy of mine, a neighbor who lived across the street, I had to replace the exhaust system. He provided me some food and everything else. I still went to high school, still in 12th grade. And through him, connected me with somebody, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll take you in. And there was a two-bedroom house. They had a basement. So the deal was I would build a third bedroom downstairs in the basement. So I built it out. I paid for the 2x4s and all the stuff. And then I had myself a bedroom and a place to stay. Yeah. So that was my rent, was building out that room. So I can relate to being down into that situation and then climbing up. And 2 years later, I was driving a 74 Corvette and was back in the drafting industry. I can relate in a different way.
Yeah, it's funny. I think most self-made entrepreneurs, people that have done well in business that started from nothing, have similar stories. Even Jeff Bezos started in his garage. And I think most people that have built businesses have a story of struggle or a story where they've made a lot of money and then lost it all and had to start from scratch. I know that's happened.
I used to own two apartment buildings. I owned one in Addison. It was a 4-flat. And then I had another one in Chicago, in Pulaski and Wellington. Uh-huh. Was a 16-unit apartment building. And through some events, all that, I lost all that stuff.
Yeah.
And rebuilt from there. So you're absolutely right on the money with that.
Yeah.
The journey of an entrepreneur is not like this.
Right.
It's kind of like...
Exactly.
There's numerous face plants along the way.
Yeah. I've been fortunate. I've had face plants, but... not too many. I'm a risk taker, but I'm not an extreme risk taker. I won't put it all on the line. I'll put some of it on the line.
Well, you got to take risks. So let's get into a little bit about some of the things that you're doing now. That really is changing people's lives, because that's what you're really doing. You're really having a profound impact on people and their lives, both whether it's financially or emotionally.
Yeah. A lot of things come to mind when we talk about creating raving fans and making a positive difference in other people's lives. And I think one of the foundational principles is to be focused on giving versus getting. So a lot of what I do is I look at ways that I can provide value and give to other people in a meaningful way. My whole business model is around that, which you're very familiar with. You know, we've got a platform where I can send physical greeting cards in the mail from a technology that we have through the post office. But it's all about gratitude. It's all about expressing gratitude or infusing gratitude into the world. I have a cigar brand called Beach Money. My book is called Beach Money, and my first book. And that book sold over 1 million copies all over the world. It's actually in about 30 languages all over the world. And I'm a cigar smoker. I love cigars. And you are too from time to time, right? And
we had a cigar together up in Jerome. Thank you. You sent me a couple of cigars.
When I meet somebody who's a cigar, I met a guy in the elevators here at the Waldorf in Vegas today that I met him for the first time. And he asked me what I did. And I told him I have a cigar brand. He goes, I need to try some of your cigars. And I said, that sounds good. He's on my radar now. I'm going to make sure that he gets a nice little leather cigar case with a couple of cigars and a cutter. And I've got a nice little presentation that I put together where I give them a nice cigars in a leather case. And I don't do it to get sales, but the result is I end up getting sales. A lot of the people that I give cigars to end up buying boxes of cigars, lots. So I'm looking for opportunities to give. I'll tell you a story. I know three billionaires personally, and three billionaires that I have their cell phone number. And one thing I notice is whenever I'm visiting them, their wife always have a gift for me. And I notice it's not just for me. Anybody that comes to visit them, they have a gift for them. And so I'm like, I might as well model that for my own life, because if a billionaire is doing it, they probably obviously know something. So I started doing the same thing. When I see people, I look for opportunities to give them some kind of a gift that's going to be meaningful to them. So it's not just something that I do on the fly. It's something that I think about. Like, I really ask myself, what does their life represent? What would be meaningful to them? What would make a difference for them? And of course, if they're a cigar smoker, they're going to want a couple of cigars, right? But I was speaking at an event in Dallas. There were 1,000 people in the room. This is a perfect example. 80 speakers over a period of 4 days. It's a lot of speakers. 80 speakers in 4 days. And every one of us got 20 minutes. And probably of the 80, probably about 10 of them, about 10 of them had their own book. And every one of those speakers was trying to sell their books from the back of the room. And I just decided, I'd been to that event before and I'd seen it. When my book came out, my second book came out, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to sell my book. I'm going to make sure all 1,000 of those people get a copy of my book for free. And not just a digital copy, a physical copy. It's going to be sitting on their table when they sit down. Now, here's the thing. That group of 1,000 people had a reach of about 5 million, meaning that they were network marketers. Some of them had built very large teams. Some of them had built smaller teams. But I knew that if they loved my book, they would talk about it on their weekly trainings and their conference calls. And so I decided I'm just going to give all of them a book, and I'm going to make sure they know that they're getting the book for free, that they don't have to buy it from me. And that's a way to create super fans, is to give it away for free.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the result of that is my book became an international bestseller. Not just from that one room, but multiple things that I did like that. The other thing I did is I made a list of about 10 people that have very large communities. When I say large, I'm talking millions. People that I know that have very large communities. I made that list and I made sure that every single person in that group of 10 got 10 signed copies from me. So I signed 10 books for all those 10. So that's 100 copies. Now think about this. At that time, I was paying $3 a book. That was my cost. And so that's $3,000 that I had to spend to get a book to everybody in that room, plus the shipping to get the books there. And then those, I gave another 100 books, which was $300 to those 10 people that I put on that list. But the result of that was probably close to $1 million in sales.
Yeah. It's a, you give to the universe and the universe gives back
tenfold.
That's right. So what you're talking about is really giving and helping, because what you did is a couple things. One is you gave, so that's number one. Number two, you provided value because of the value of your book and the value that comes into that book. That in turn creates super fans that in turn start talking to the people, all the people that they know. And that's how that multiplier factor takes place.
That's one of the reasons why I really love your book, because your book does so much to expand people's vision around that concept. It's really well done. And I think everybody should read your book. Your book will have a positive impact on everybody who reads it. I can think of a number of things. The other thing is, like in my business, it's real easy. You get real busy and it's real easy to cut corners. When you're with somebody, you want to be real present with them. And so when I bring on a new consultant into our business, it's real easy to just send them some stuff and tell them to watch some videos to get them up and running and get them trained. But what I like to do is I like to set up a few personal meetings with them where I take the time to really hold their hand in the beginning and make myself really available in the beginning. My job is to help them get started, to help them get up and running so that they can have success, so they have a fighting chance at success. And so I want to be there as a resource. And the way my view is that I'm going to hold their hand to get them up and running until they're ready to fly on their own. I've got to make sure they've got the tools they need and the focus and the direction in order to be successful. Most people in our business don't take the time to do that.
Having worked together in the past, one of the things I will say is that you take the time to express appreciation and you also recognize different people. And one of my quotes in my book, Creating Business Superfans, is, people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation, recognition. And that's one of the things that you're well known for doing, is actually taking time to appreciate and recognize your team members and everything else. And that helps propel them to a whole nother level.
It's a simple thing. It's something that's free. It's free to do it. And it's simple. I've noticed that the most successful business leaders, they're really good at that. They're really good at acknowledging, being present with people. I've spent many hours with Richard Branson. I was on his island, Necker Island, right before the pandemic. Actually, I would have been stuck there. If the pandemic had happened 2 days earlier, I would have been stuck on Necker Island with Richard Branson and his employees. There were 12 of us, and I got to spend 10 days with him. We were on his boat a few times. We were played chess with him a few times. We were having breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day in the hot tub. In fact, we did have sushi one time in the hot tub with a group. But one thing I noticed about Richard is he was calm. He didn't seem stressed out at all. The guy has 64,000 employees and hundreds of companies. And he's just chilling, just lounging with everybody because he's got a great team of people around him. Everybody loves him.
Well, I want to add to that, because what he's done, and I use him as an example many times on my episodes, he's entrusted his people, he's empowered his people, they have decision-making abilities, he doesn't micromanage. Right. I'd say he's not out there making sure that the airplane is all gassed up and ready to go, or he's not making sure that the food is cooked on the cruise ship. He's got people doing that, and they're empowered, and they can make decisions, and they come to him if it's something on a high level. And that's how he has a lifestyle to be able to hang out on his island and be with people like yourself. Most leaders still don't get that. Really, the secret to success is empowerment.
Yeah.
And you empower your team, it's transformative. And you actually get out of working in the business and you can actually start working on the business and you actually start having a life that you dreamed of when you first started your business.
Yeah. Richard's a pretty extraordinary person. He's very different than what you would envision somebody who's as successful as him. One of the things is when he talks to you, he's just talking to you and he listens. He asks questions. He's very inquisitive. He wants to learn from everybody that he meets, regardless of what their status in life is. He'll ask you questions and you'll be like, why is Richard Branson asking me this question? He obviously knows more than I do about this, but he'll ask questions and he'll listen. He wants to get different perspectives. And that was another thing that I learned from him, his inquisitiveness. He gave gifts to everybody as well, a couple of times when we checked in and when we checked out. He had a gift for us. He signed, if we bought anything from the gift shop, he'd sign it for us. I've got a couple of bracelets in a little box that are signed personally to me from Richard Branson, different things like that.
I'm going to add something to that, Jordan, is one of my sayings that I have is the little thing are really
the big things.
And that's a little thing. Taking time to sign something may make it, for him, it's a little thing. But to you, that's a big thing because you're talking about it right now. The little things, it's sending somebody a birthday card. It's a little thing. But to that individual, it's a big thing because that may be the only birthday card they got.
That's right. People don't get birthday cards today. So when you send a birthday card, it's meaningful.
Yeah, that's how you create super fans is because I keep telling people that in the digital world, how do you change the game? How do you separate yourself in business? Well, everybody's doing digital stuff. Guess what? Old school still works, aka the postal service. And it's funny if you really stop and think about it. You can't spam email because it's illegal, but you can spam mail.
That's true, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, you're allowed to send anything in the mail, right?
Well, because who makes money off of the mail?
Never thought about that. So why send cards? Because emails don't make the refrigerator. Never going to see an email that you sent to somebody on the refrigerator. But if you send a meaningful card to somebody, it's going to be on the refrigerator. And when they see it, they're going to remember you.
It can be a card. It can be a letter. When I was working with an interpreting and translation company, we mailed out flyers. And we customized the flyer for the department that was selling into the Arizona Department of Health Services, Real Estate, and all that stuff. I made the marketing collateral specifically for that department, and then I mailed it to that department and how we solved a unique problem. But I used old school mail, and we got results because it gets through.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. I thought about the same thing when I was in Bulgaria last September. I was speaking to a group of 1,000 people, and speaking of translations, it was translated into 6 different languages simultaneously. And I had zero benefit. Like me being in Bulgaria, there's nothing that I'm going to ever sell in Bulgaria. And I shouldn't say I'll never sell in Bulgaria, but I wasn't there to sell anything. One of the things that you learn in business is like almost like karma. It's like when you do good things for people, good things tend to come back. So you can't be somebody that's always keeping score, that's always looking for ROI. And I hear that from business people. What's my ROI? If I'm going to do this, what's my actual bottom line? If you're always focused on bottom line and you're not focused on the energy of giving in general, you won't make it long term. It's got to be. Because I don't know what benefit or result I'm going to get. In fact, I spoke gratis to a group of 1,000 people in Bulgaria. They paid for my airfare and my hotel, but I didn't make any money. I did sign a lot of books in Bulgarian. We gave them the books, so it ended up costing me money. But I'm not keeping score. I'm not like going, okay, I spent this amount of money and this amount of time, and what am I going to get back? It doesn't work that way. It's like I just put out, do everything I can to pour into other people every day, regardless of who they are and where they are and what I get from it. And it all comes back to me, like you said, tenfold.
Yeah. And it's really about treating people they would like to be treated. In a sense, what you did is you helped somebody out because they asked you to come out there. So you respected them. You went to help them with no expectations of anything coming back. But you never know how the universe plays out, because it may be nothing from that particular situation took place, but 6 months from now, something could have derived that because somebody was at that event and says, oh yeah, I remember this Jordan guy. I need to reach out to him. And you never know where that can lead to.
I had a conversation. It reminds me of the movie Pay It Forward. If you've never seen that movie with, and I'm not going to ruin it by telling you what happens, but it's a movie about an 8-year-old kid who gets a class assignment to come up with an idea to change the world. All the kids got it. He came up with an idea that he presented to the classroom and all the other kids ridiculed it. And at the end of the story, I'll try not to ruin it here, he decides that Pay It Forward, his idea didn't work. But then there's the rest of the story. There's the butterfly effect. You don't know where that's going to lead and whose lives you're going to touch. And a lot of times there's people's lives you change that you don't even know you changed, and you may never know. There's a movie called Searching for Sugar Man. That's the story of a guy named Rodriguez that was a musician back in the 60s. It's a true story. He used to go to the bars and the saloons with his guitar, and he wore a black hat and a long black coat and black boots and a Hispanic dude named Rodriguez. And he'd go into these bars and he wouldn't talk to anybody. He'd just go in, sit on a bench, or sit on a stool in the shadows and play a couple songs. And he was really good. And then he would leave. And he did that for a few years in downtown Detroit. And then he disappeared. All the people in the bars for the next 28 years, used to talk about Rodriguez. Whatever happened to that guy Rodriguez to come in and play? He was so good, but no one really knew who he was. They just knew his name was Rodriguez. Well, during apartheid, you might even remember this, during apartheid back in early 90s, 80s, there was an up of music in Africa, South Africa. There were millions and millions of people that were buying these records by a guy named Rodriguez. But his music was the background of the movement in South Africa, and millions of people were buying his music, but nobody knew who he was or where he came from. They almost turned him into a godlike character. One day, one guy said, I'm going to go searching for Sugar Man. Sugar Man was the name of one of his songs. And this guy in the 90s says, I'm going to go spend the next few years trying to find this guy, Sugar Man. Who is this guy? There was no internet back then. Started traveling the world. It took him 4 years and he found the guy. And the guy was in his 70s living in the projects on welfare in Detroit. And he told the guy, he said, you're famous.
Wow.
There's millions of people that are buying your music. And he's like, what are you talking about? We want to fly you and your wife and your family, your kids to South Africa to do a concert. And he didn't even believe it. And they gave him the red carpet. He flew on a private jet to South Africa. And his first concert was in front of 50,000 people. And the last time he played was in the bars, in the saloons and the bars of Detroit back in the 60s. He still played, but he never played concerts or things. At the age of 73 years old, he became famous and started touring the world and toured until he was 83, until he passed away and made millions of dollars. But that's the butterfly effect. By the way, there's a movie called Searching for Sugar Man that is a documentary about this guy's life if you want to see it. It's so good. But it really makes you think about whatever the moves you're making and how they impact other people. And sometimes if that guy hadn't decided to go searching for Sugar Man, this guy would have died in the projects in Detroit and never even known that he was famous.
Yeah. What a story on that. It's amazing. You make me think of, I met my mentor back in 1975, the guy that got me to read and grow rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie and Cybernetics and all that stuff. I met him when I was 18, 1975, and this guy pulled up with the Lincoln Continental. He had a phone in his car. It wasn't a cell phone, it was a phone in the car. And we just hit it off at the gas station. It was a Shell gas station, a 9 mile in DeQuinder. And we just hit it off. And every time he'd come to get his gas, I'd say, hey, I got this guy. And we became friends. And he's the one that, like I said, I ended up in 1976, about a 74 Corvette. He helped me start a janitorial business. And then I got into the computer industry in 1980. And he actually stayed at my house in Hanover Park, Illinois. And then as I progressed and moved and all that stuff, we lost track for years. And I finally found his address. I sent him a copy of my book, Creating Business Superfans. And he reached out to me and said, one, thank you, because I actually recognized him in the book. His name is Don Toko. We've reconnected. since then. It's been great because his exact words is, you wrote my book. Because he goes, that's everything I would have put in that book is what you did. And he's actually looking to take that book and put it in a couple libraries that he is involved with. The Hinsdale Community College in Illinois, there's a library that's going to be built that he's involved with. And he wants to put a bunch of copies of my book in there.
You acknowledging him in your book and the difference he made for you. And now who knows where that's going to go?
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the little things are really the big things. And people don't take enough time, and I'm sharing this for our listeners, as if you're a business owner, take time to recognize the team. Take the team out. Do a team event, because that builds a camaraderie. I mean, that was one of the things that I still have friends from the 80s when I was in a software company. We would, every Friday, we would go right across the street to the Snuggery, it used to be called. For happy hour, we would get together as a group, and it built friendships. And those friendships, I'm still friends with one of the guys 45 years later. We're still friends. And we started both on the same day. We didn't know anybody. So we go, hey, you know, you're new here? Yeah, I'm new here. Who do you know? I don't know anybody. Well, let's hang out together. And from there, we've been friends. And so I've sent him birthday cards and everything else. I maintain and nurture that relationship.
I agree with you big time, Frederick. The personal times that you have with the people that you associate with for business and personally, those are the things people remember. Those are the things that are really meaningful. So looking for those time to take trips together, like that's one of my favorite things to do. I've got a group of friends all across the country and we meet up in New Orleans. We meet up in South Beach. We're going to be in South Beach for the 4th of July. And I just invite a whole bunch of people and some of them show up, some of them don't. And we usually smoke cigars and go out to get sushi and just see the local sights and sounds. In New Orleans, we listen to music and they're in business with me. But we don't go there for business. We go there just to have fun. And those are the memories that laugh that we take rave.
Oh, absolutely right. That's the only thing we take with us is our memories, our journeys, our adventures. And one of the things that you taught me was to document that and then send that back to the individual. So take pictures and send it back, whether it's through a card, whether it's a physical frame. It doesn't matter. What's important is that you actually do it, because that person's going to treasure that. Another super fan, they're going to have it up on their wall, and that's never going to get thrown away.
Got a group of guys, like probably 10 people that buy boxes of cigars from me every month, and the boxes are engraved. And so when these people that buy boxes of cigars from me every month, I mean, they're spending $300-$400 a month with me on these cigars. So when their birthday comes up, I send them a free box of cigars and I have it engraved with a quote from me and a happy birthday message to them. So they get a box, they get a beach hut.
It's a little thing that just a big thing. Thank you. Another one that's underutilized. Some leaders just feel that you got the job, you should be thankful I've got the job. And it should be really the other way around. It should be, hey, I really appreciate the effort. Thank you for the staying a few hours extra to get this particular project done. And those are game changers.
I go to Discount Tire to get a flat fixed. And I go in there and they should be sending me a thank you card and a gift, right? But I end up sending them a thank you card and a gift. And I'm not looking for a thank you from them, but if you own a business, they'd be doing that, right? But instead, they get a card in the mail from me with a picture of their store on the front, and they get a box, 16 brownies they can throw out to the people in the shop. And then that way, the next time I go in, they're like, you're the guy, Jordan, that sent the card and the brownie. And it expands my reach and my network and my relationship.
I won more sales selling manufacturing software from that technique. And what I used to do, I didn't send a gift, but I would make sure that I got everybody's name in the room, because some of the guys that were running the milling machines and stuff like that, they would come in to invite it to take a look at the technology. Right. They're on the shop floor. I got everybody's name. I did this in the 90s, and I would send everybody a thank you letter. It was a boilerplate letter, but I tweaked some of the verbiage. Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to watch our presentation, and your feedback was very valuable and all that kind of good stuff. So I made you feel good and I mailed it to everybody. So even the guy in the shop floor that nobody ever recognizes, I recognized him. And then when I would get the order, I'd say, what was the reasoning that you guys chose us? And he says, after the sale, we felt you guys would provide the best support. I planted that seed because of the way I recognized everybody with the thank you after the meeting. And it was next day, it was in the mail.
Reminds me of the guy that goes and buys donuts. and brings the donuts in to say, hey, I'm not looking for anything from you, but here's some donuts. Enjoy. Those are the people that end up getting the business.
Yeah. The fact that John at the milling machine and Mike over there at the lathe machine, nobody ever gets
anything. Right.
Nobody recognizes it. So they all of a sudden get a letter in the shop floor addressed to them.
Yeah.
And they go, wow. It changes the dynamics.
Absolutely. So it's good stuff.
So Jordan, as we get close to the end here, how can people find you?
Easiest way, if you're on Instagram, find me, follow me at Beach Money Jordan. And that's it on Instagram. You can also go on my Linktree and just use Beach Money. So it's linktr.ee/me. Those are probably the two easiest ways to get to me. That if there's anything that I could do to help you, shoot me a message and let's do something together.
Thank you for your time. And we look to continue the conversation another day and have you on the show again.
Thank you for a great show. Really appreciate the invitation and take care, everybody. Bye.
Wow. What a powerful conversation with Jordan Adler. Today's episode connects perfectly with S2, the final S, sustain. Enjoy freedom through empowerment. This pillar is all about building a business that runs without you, where your team is empowered, your systems are automated, and you get to truly enjoy the lifestyle you've earned. Jordan's story of designing Beach Money proves that when you set up the right systems and give others room to grow, your business stops being a grind and starts being a getaway to freedom. So here's your challenge. Identify one area in your business this week where you can step back and empower somebody else or put a system in place to free yourself up. The result? More time to live your dream, knowing your business is thriving without your constant presence. And remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer. Until next time, keep building your business superfans. Thank you for listening. And know this, when you do, freedom follows.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.